Thank you for tuning in to Vine Life with host Janine Davis and special guest Dr. Charles Martin, world-renowned saxophonist and pastor of Integrity's Voice of Victory Church, with Dr. Larry Mack.
Good morning. Welcome to Vine Life. I'm your host, Janine Davis. I'm here for part three of Relationships and Technology with Dr. Charles Martin of Integrity's Voice of Victory Church. Pastor Martin is also an international saxophonist, and we have one of his friends also with us, Dr. Larry G. Mack Jr. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Welcome
Good morning.
To Vine Life.
Mm-hmm. Glad to be here.
So we've done two shows, and now we've talked about the brotherhood, men and male relationships. We talked about the man and wife relationship. Let's talk about the relationships of pastors and the church. How about that?
Amen. That subject is so vast, but oftentimes I'm reminded of the book of Luke chapter 17 in verse number 5, when the disciples asks for an increase of faith. They didn't ask for increase of faith when he saw Jesus raising the dead. They didn't ask for increase of faith when he walked on water. They said, Master, increase our faith when it came to forgiving someone, forgiving your brother and sister of their offenses. The Bible talks about this all through scripture. It says, when you stand praying, forgive. It says, if offenses and unforgiveness, especially when it comes to a brother and sister relationship, spiritual and naturally, and just even people in general in your church, at work and at church, but nobody can offend you like somebody that you love. You have two people that are in a relationship and a marriage covenant, and they're in covenant with each other, but they end up hating one another. It seems like it's one of the most central issues that we have to face in the body of Christ, and we have to pay close attention to something that seems so small, but is very, very large. It's the thing that causes divorce and division. It causes relationships to break up, business partners to go separate ways, groups, whether it be secular or sacred, they break up because of an offense. Jesus said these words. He said, offenses will come. He didn't say they might come. He said that they will come. And then he gives us the antidote to dealing with, you know, how to deal with an offense when it comes. First of all, what is an offense? It's the Greek word scandalon. It's something that happens that the enemy uses for you and I to take the bait. And he uses an offense to break up a relationship. In other words, I believe this, Pastor, with all my heart, that right now the enemy has a plan to break up key relationships in your life. It may be a 3-month plan, a 3-year plan, or a 6-year plan, but he's working on something. But the Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. If we as believers can come to a place and understand that, hey, I love you, and you're probably going to offend me, but another thing is I'm probably going to offend you. And what do we do with this offense when it happens?
Well, I think the main thing we have to understand, since Jesus said it's guaranteed to happen, we can anticipate it, but not expect it. I think that if we begin to approach every relationship like this, I'm in this forever. I told my church congregation last week, I said, I'm not marrying anybody else until both of you commit that if one of you cheat, you're still going to stay in that relationship before you get married.
Okay.
Tore the church up. They couldn't believe it. I said, I'm not marrying nobody else until you make a commitment that you'll never divorce this person if this person has an accident, they can't walk anymore. See, too many people enter into a relationship with conditions. Like if I marry, like for instance, I told a couple the other day, I said, listen, young man, what if she gets down the road and she has sex with somebody other than you? Are you going to still stay married to her? If his answer is no, I won't marry him. And I ask her the same question. I get them understanding that this is a covenant, that you're not, it's not, unconditional love is the only kind of love. The moment I say I'm going to leave you, the moment you break my heart, is the moment I've stepped outside of love into condition. Mm-hmm. See, if my love for you is conditional, as long as Janine keeps inviting me every year to her on her radio station, I am going to be nice to her. But the moment she doesn't invite me, I'll just find somebody else to go be on their radio station.
Right.
That's conditional love.
That's conditional love.
If I'm in a relationship, if I, my wife's name is Paula. I told my whole church, I said, if my wife plays on me and she does this, I still will remain in this relationship because I am committed to her.
Absolutely.
Not based on my ability to love her, but based on God's ability to love her. Now, if God said, well, if she does this, I'm not going to love her anymore. I know I can't love my wife anymore because if God can't love her through it, I can't love her through it. But if God still considers my wife his daughter, even after she cheats on me, bless God, I still consider her my wife, and I'm going to get on my face before God. And Lord, how can I remain in this relationship? Because I promised you in that cut that covenant that if she cheats on me, if she loses her limbs, if I'm going to still support her.
Mm-hmm. And people that's coming into the body of Christ and coming into the church, they come in sometime with the conditional love.
Conditional
and they
love.
Want to control the
people
pastor.
People join a church.
Yes.
Conditionally. People get into a friendship conditionally. People buy cars conditionally.
Well, I want the pastor to say this. I want him to preach this. Yeah. I want the pastor to have the worship team sing these songs.
Right.
And once the pastor, I invited the pastor to dinner and he didn't come.
Right.
Well, I'm hurt.
Right.
But he went over Sister Jane's house.
Right.
And she told me they had a good time and they stayed 3 hours.
Janine, bunny rabbits. Listen to this, Larry. Bunny rabbits love their bunnies.
Yes.
Big deal if you love your kids. Giraffes love the giraffe or be nice to the giraffe,
yes,
that they had babies by.
Mm-hmm.
All of wild eagles stay with one eagle. Eagles are monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
They generally have one eagle partner.
Mm-hmm.
But human beings, we think that we're loving just because we love our spouse or just because we love our children. It's not love until God has to help you give it away.
Mm.
So we claim to love our spouse, but that's not really love just because you're in the comfort of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That person has never done you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That
right.
person has never cheated on you.
Right.
That person has never slept around.
Right.
But it's not love until that person has made a mistake.
Yes.
Until that wife has kept her body away from
yes.
you. Until that husband yes. has walked out on you several
mm-hmm.
times. That's when you get the opportunity and the privilege to show the love of Jesus
okay.
Christ
now, what is
when
the
it's
scripture?
Hard to give away.
What is the scripture that Jesus is saying? He's explaining love and he said, what is it that you love your brother that loves you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, in other words, anybody can do that. But to love the unlovable, to love someone where right. there's friction.
Right. He said he wants us to love our enemies.
That's what he said.
That's a heart thing. See, we've had conditional love in the church. Conditional love to the world. That's why we can picket abortion clinics. That's why we are mean to homosexuals.
Right.
The church, that's why the world sees us as homosexual haters.
Mm-hmm.
The world sees us as weird, strange people
mm-hmm.
because we have conditional love.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said the only way they're going to know that they've been with me is by your love for one another.
And so that's what's happening now in the church.
The political problem in the world in this last election was that people that call themselves Christians demonstrated their hate for sin the wrong way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only way to demonstrate your hate for sin
is to love.
Is your love for God. See, the Lord told me this. The Lord told me this years ago. He says, son, it's not enough to love me. You got to hate the devil and you got to hate sin. He says, but it's not enough to hate sin and hate the devil. You got to love me. So the church has had a problem. We haven't had very many love models. We haven't had very many love models in the pulpit.
Oh, preach.
Here, the reason, let me tell you something. Let me tell you why a pastor can have a moral failure and lose his whole church is when a pastor doesn't preach grace from the pulpit. If a pastor preaches the real Bible where Jesus forgave us of our sins.
He did.
And then if he doesn't really preach the Bible, how can the church demonstrate the Bible to the pastor if the pastor makes a mistake? We've got no business in the church attacking one another. A pastor has no business attacking a congregant when a congregant is committing sin.
Well, you know what? I let God.
A pastor has to demonstrate the love of Christ restore that person.
Yes.
Now, he by all means, he needs to preach the Bible.
Yes.
But he doesn't need to attack that person.
Yes.
He needs to love that person.
And we know the word, and we know what God did in the Bible and what he hates and what he loves. He made that pretty plain. But I'm going to love.
Right.
I'm going to love because I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. And in all of my nastiness, God said, come. Mm-hmm. And I came to him just as I
just
was.
As you were.
But the thing is when God gives you a revelation and you see the blessings and the anointing of God upon your life, sometimes, Pastor, we don't want to go into the, quote, mess. Mm-hmm. And that's wrong.
That's where people live.
That's where people live. If you don't go into the mess, how will they ever see him?
Right.
How will they ever know him?
Right.
How will his life ever be demonstrated?
Right.
You know, Sister Janine, this is what I believe is happening, is that we are missing out on an encounter with God. Oftentimes, we as believers, we vicariously live through seasoned saints, if you would, and we begin to get our ideology from what they said, which is religion. And so we have no encounter or personal encounter when it comes to God. And so what we do is we take what people have told us, and we believe that's what God is. For example, most people in most churches don't sin because somebody told them not to. You know, the Bible says it because they heard the preacher preach it or whatever,
right.
You know, but what happens is if we can get people to have this encounter with God, then they won't want to sin again. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Like Isaiah, his life changed that time that he said in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. His train filled it. That encounter altered him.
Yes.
It altered the rest of his life.
Yes.
Moses at the burning bush, that encounter altered the rest of his life. If we as believers can have an encounter with God and we can, you know, the Bible says, if you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you.
Yes.
And so then we'll get out of this religiosity or, in other words, serving the Lord, because really there's people in my world that are holy around me.
Yes.
But when I'm not around, they act their own way. I'll go visit somebody in the house. They put their beers aside.
Mm-hmm.
They do whatever.
Oh,
they clear everything out. But see, I'm not God. You got to have that encounter with God yourself, and it's between you and God to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. And it is my goal to draw nigh to God, and as I encourage others to draw near,
mm-hmm.
and if we can all draw near together, that's where the love walk comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the forgiveness. I'm not loving people with my humanistic love, escorbe, filio, God.
Right.
I'm loving God. I'm loving people because I'm loving God. And,
yes.
And you get drunk off of the love of God. There's encounters that I have with him in the morning through worship and through prayer. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The reason why David was able to come to this type of conclusion is because when he is rejected by his brothers, when his father basically disowned him, he wasn't even allowed to come to the house when the prophet came to his house and Jesse that was going to anoint the next king of Israel.
Yes.
And so really Jesse was hiding his problem because David was the bastard child of Jesse.
Uh-huh.
And he knew the man of God was coming, so he wanted to hide his sin. And so that's why David wasn't even a part of the whole situation. So David had learned. He had learned because he didn't have the relationships. I mean, there's people listening right now. You've probably been experiencing rejection your whole life. I want you to know something. I had that same experience. And there's a place in God where he can take that spirit of rejection away from you, and you can learn how to love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot adequately love other people. He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. When your love of self comes up to another level, you're able to love people more effectively. And so what David did, he learned how to attract God, get God's presence all around him. He worshiped the Lord. God's presence came. What was on God got on David. That's why he had the guts to fight a lion and a bear. He had the guts to deal with Saul in situations that he was facing personally, because he made God his center. Listen, people are going to come out your life. They're going to go in your life. They're going to come and go. Jobs are come. Things are come. things will go. But one thing that cannot change is the one thing that does not change is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. People are going to hurt you. People are going to offend you. But if you make God your number one, he's the only one. He wants you to put your trust in him. Don't put your trust in men. Don't put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in Pastor Charles. Put your trust in God. When you do that, then you can begin to share that kind of love with everyone else. Back to David. David was able to gather God's presence around him. And because of that presence, it pushed him in a position of power. So therefore, his motivation was not to get anything from you. He just wanted to get something to you. He wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be loved. We see him wanting to serve Saul. He wanted to serve his leader, but his leader was trying to kill him. Mm-hmm. And so he refused to put his hand upon him because David had this unconditional love of God that was upon his life. He made God his center. He made God his access. And as we as believers can get together and start making God our number one and have these encounters, then it will not affect our relationships. One of the things I cannot stand is that when you are at home at the dinner table talking about your pastor, about members of your church, your children are listening. And when they listen, they get hurt over what's being said. And then they grow up thinking ill things about the church, about the pastor, about the man of God. And you cripple their relationship that they're supposed to have with the body of Christ. No matter what we think about the church, she is still the church. When Jesus was a young man, he grew up in the synagogue. And he knew there were problems in the synagogue, but he still went to church. And so we think we're better than God and think we don't have to go to church. Every believer must belong to, be attached to, be firmly affixed in, committed, and submitted to a local church body. You got to have a body of believers that you connect with, that you go to war with, that you do things of God with, you learn how to love one another with. Love is not love until we can get to the bedrock of our relationship, when you can see my good, my bad, and my ugly. You see everything about me and you can still love me. God wants us to come to this place still today. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, he spoke to the seven churches, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. He had something to say to these seven pastors of these seven churches that give their congregations. He did not speak to the PTA. He did not speak to the usher board. He did not speak to organizations in the world. He spoke to his church, we have got to get it right. We have got to get together. Yes. We have got to get back to this encounter. That encounter that we have with God, we get back to this encounter, I believe that we're able to love the way we're supposed to love. And then when things happen to us, we can take it and we can keep moving on, because my Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs. And when we are in those betrayal situations, like mm-hmm. Judas betrayed Jesus, yes. He said, the one that I love has lifted up his heel against us. And we have got to say, hey, look, we're supposed to be disciples of Jesus. We're supposed to follow him. We're supposed to be intimate with him. And if he was betrayed by somebody that he loved, then we're probably going to be betrayed by somebody that we love. And how do we handle that offense? Jesus still loved him. He still washed his feet. He said, do good to those that do bad to you. Bless those that curse you. He said, in doing so, you reap coals of fire upon their head. Now, this is what I believe. When you reap a coal of fire upon the head of someone, someone just cursed you out, they did bad to you, and you choose to love and you do good. What happens is you cause fire to come upon the thing, that headship or that authority that motivated them to do it. We see a good example when Stephen was preaching and the Apostle Paul came and had him stoned, and he looked up to heaven. He said, God, forgive him. When he said that, he reaped coals of fire on Saul's head, the thing that was motivating him to do what he was doing, which opened up the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Because at the end of the day, what it really means is, let's get the soul saved. Let's have influence in the world. When I'm offended, it stops the power of God from moving. The Bible talks about husbands and wives. When you argue and you fight amongst each other, it stops God's power from moving in your life. If it hinders your prayers. If you was the devil, what would you do? If I was a devil and I wanted to stop prayer because God answers prayers, what I would do is, number one, keep you ignorant of the fact that you think you're okay when you walk in unforgiveness, when you curse out your brothers, when you backbite, when you gossip, when you run down each other. You think that you're in the love of God. You are not. You're being deceived and your prayers are being hindered, and you wonder why the blessing of God is not coming on your life. Jesus said, when you pray, stand praying, forgive. Why did he say that? Because it locks up the blessings of God from flowing in your life when you live in unforgiveness. Pastor, you got anything to say about that?
I think that we have to realize that, you know, the church for years has preached that, well, God requires holiness. Now, the requirement God had for holiness was fulfilled in Christ. And when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and you begin to put the word of God in your heart, Christ will begin to live holy through you. I can't live holy in my own strength.
Right.
Only way I can live holy is if I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior and I begin to read the word of God, then I can love, then offense doesn't, then I can't, when I get offended, it doesn't take me down a pathway I don't want to go. Because Jesus can be, he can begin to live pure through me. He lives holy through me. I lose my appetite for pornography. I lose my appetite to argue with my
wife.
I lose my appetite for, drinking and alcohol. I lose my appetite for smoking weed because the purity of Jesus, I don't have to stop smoking weed in my own strength anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, All I want to do mm-hmm. is to live for God. So there has been a lack in the body of Christ of the presence of God in worship.
Yes.
And the word of God in the word. In other words, when I put God's covenant inside of me, there is a literal covenant that takes place. That word mm-hmm. is literally the seed of God. Mm-hmm. That's how Mary got pregnant. God spoke, and then that seed jumped in her womb.
Yes.
And the Bible called it incorruptible. So whenever the scripture is read, the seed is spilled. Every time I read the Bible, the seed of God Almighty is being spilled in the womb of my heart. Now, whenever the blood is shed, a covenant is being cut. Mm-hmm. Whenever a covenant is being cut, a promise is being made. And can God renege on his promise? So when I'm reading the Bible, I am literally allowing God Almighty to spill his seed in the womb of my heart.
The living word.
And whatever I'm reading mm-hmm. can literally come to pass in my life
yes.
because it's God's potency. If a man is impotent, that means he can't have children. But God is omnipotent.
And Pastor, that's what the Pharisees didn't understand when Jesus was upon
the word
the earth.
Was alive.
They had every law and they right. had the prophets,
and
scribes and all of that. And when Jesus walked upon the earth and he saw these men, I'm going to put in quotations, these men, quote, of God, they didn't even recognize him. They didn't understand why he could change an atmosphere mm-hmm. and their laws couldn't. These men had enemies among themselves. I don't know if it was the scribes and the Pharisees and all of them, but they got together and they had to decide what they were going to do about this man that changed the atmosphere. He was making us look bad. The word is the power. We have the scribes, but we can't do what he's doing. It was the love of God upon Jesus. Everything he did for his Father.
He did.
It was that spirit and the word.
Oh my
coming
God.
Coming together with balance. Because if you have too much spirit, you'll blow up. If you got the word only, you'll dry up. But if you got a balance of the word and the spirit, you grow up. And when Jesus showed up, he the spirit and the word, they had an agreement. The Holy Spirit came down upon the word is because there was agreement that was there. And this is what I believe. When you're close to God, there's a reality that knowing that really, where do I find him? The Bible says your body is the temple of God. And so when that reality begins to show up in your life, we'll be like Joseph. And we'll say these words. We'll say, I don't want to sin against God. It wasn't about him laying down with Potiphar's wife.
Mm-hmm.
It was, look, no, it's not about you. It's not about me. But I'm very close to somebody.
Yes.
And I don't want to sin against him.
Thank you, Jesus.
And so that's the key. I think that's the key to holiness that we miss out. We're trying to do it in our own power. God never, this is a supernatural walk. If we stay connected to this vine,
mm-hmm. yes,
then
yes.
we're able to love. We're able
yes.
to do. And this is the thing that I think we're forgetting, too. Faith works by love. When the love of God is shed and brought in your heart by the Holy Ghost, we can have God do the exceeding abundantly above all that you, the really the key thing that this is, I think, what the enemy puts these offenses and we think we got a right to be offended. I have this person has hurt me. And I know there's some hard cases out there. If somebody was to mess with my daughter, listen, I may have a prison ministry. So what I'm saying, there's some hard cases out here.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, what does the enemy want to stop from happening in my life, because we are all created to do some awesome in this planet, in this earth.
Yes.
It may be small to some, but it's always big to God. There's no big guys and little yous.
Absolutely.
What's hiding behind this offense? There's a gift of God. There's a dream of God that's hiding behind the offense of God.
And so
this is what I'm saying is, if we can begin to seek him, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you, is within you. We cannot live out our full potential in Christ until we learn how to forgive and see what the enemy is trying to prevent us from walking after.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, for coming on Vine Life and sharing your heart, the word of God, and your teaching. Pastor, I'm going to ask that you close us out, Pastor Martin. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that staying connected to the true vine has been key. And I just want people to understand out there, when you, Pastor Mac, was saying that there's no big, there's no little, our functions are different on the vine, mm-hmm. all working together for the good of those that love him and that are called according to his purpose, to give him glory and to bring that growth, that seed upon the earth for the fullness of time to come, for Jesus to return. And I don't want people looking at other people and what they're doing on the mm-hmm. vine and this and this and that wanting, because when you do that and you stop being productive, there's a big hole where you need to be. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We got to get our identity from Christ, not from one another, but from Christ.
Yes. I'm going to take the last 15 seconds, just pray for the listeners.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, those that have struggled, those that have been sick, those that have battled in their mind with love and offense, Lord, we call forth the Holy Spirit, who's the cure of everything.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, heal their bodies, change their minds, minister their souls and spirit. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Father God. Amen.
Amen. Audience, this time and next, stay connected to the true vine, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Vine Life. For more information on today's show, you can go to www.theinterviews.com. This program brought to you by Vine Life Ministries.